I don't get this at all. I thought Lopan...
Shut up, Mr. Burton. You are not brought upon this world to get it.
Come on, Lopan is like...
Nothing you can understand. There are many mysteries, many unanswerable questions, even in a life as short as yours.
Yeah, well, the way I see it doesn't mean we shouldn't ask.
You think you got any thug in you?
Mugs, pugs, thugs. Nitwits, halfwits, dimwits.
We're not intimidated by thugs.
But Bud White is a valuable officer.
White's a mindless thug.
Thug means never having to say you're sorry.
Seriously, you are correct. Everything that we've done up to this point feels like...
It feels like a lie.
Slack-jawed, amateur garbage.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Jimmy's collection with the Film Thugs, and we are trying another distraction therapy this week because...
We can.
And shit's been busy. And let me give you an idea. Okay, so I've lived in my apartment complex for 8 years, during which time they have not done shit about the parking lot, which is garbage. They schedule to have all of it resurfaced and the place right in front of my building the day my fucking move was scheduled. So I had to push it 2 days.
Of course.
So I'm by the end of this month, it is what day? What day is it? The 12th?
Yes.
Okay, so by the end of this month, I have to be out of my apartment. Tomorrow, I am all day at a training thing for work.
Okay.
So tomorrow's pretty much dead. I'll be able to do a little bit, but tomorrow's pretty much dead. Then I have Saturday. Then Sunday, Father's Day, I'm flying to Nashville for a conference and won't be back until Thursday night. So that's gone. So then... Thursday,
yeah,
I'll be back, but I'll have Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Then Monday, they're going to be doing my parking lot.
Yeah.
So Monday, I won't have much, but I'll have, you know, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I should be able to be done by then.
Right.
I'm just paranoid as shit because I'm like, I don't want this to turn into a at the last minute rushing to get everything fucking done type nightmare.
No.
So we're going to be able to do it, but it's just my, you know me, I tend to get a little anxious.
A bit. A bit.
Just a touch from time to time. So that's feeding into that right now. It's
you want to see me in the exact same level of anxiousness.
Uh-huh.
Get me somewhere behind the eight ball where I have to be right then and there.
Right.
Or, for Film Thugs fans, put me somewhere beyond that 30-minute cushion that I require
right.
before any film. Regardless of
yes.
quality.
Yes.
I don't give a shit what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Ghostbusters
mm-hmm.
being reissued in the theaters.
Yes.
Okay, I'll be there in half an hour. Mm-hmm. Fucking Maleficent's going to be out with its wandering whatnot.
Yeah.
I got to be there half an hour.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
Super fucking...
Doesn't matter what it is.
I don't give a fuck what it is.
I need to be there early. Yeah.
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 But if something happens in that window,
mm-hmm.
and me at that point and you at moving...
Yeah.
We are the same creature.
Yes, we are that level of what the fuck.
Whoever happens to be with us, I'm sorry, because it's not good.
Yeah, I'm at a... Normally, my tension level is at about a 10 out of 9. So, yeah, because I do things on a 9-point scale normally.
I see.
Hmm. So, the other night in this office, Hope and I sat and watched Anchorman 2. And it was interesting because it was like an hour and a half into it before the conflict arose. It's like, it's a fun movie.
Well,
it's
sure.
But it's like, boy, you really are trying to figure out, you're figuring out a vehicle for these jokes. Okay, I dig that.
Why didn't they just have like a dance studio that was going, that some
that
rich person
awesome.
Was trying to knock down to build an apartment? I mean.
Essentially, the whole movie is about the rise of infotainment instead of news, where it's like, right now, there is a high-speed car chase. Let's go to that. That's basically what Anchorman 2 is about.
Wait a minute.
Yes.
Are you telling me they took, albeit a passing glance,
uh-huh.
a sort of a shot
mm-hmm.
at trying to say something?
Yes, they did.
No.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy.
You don't do that.
I know.
No.
What, speaking of that, I got to say, fucking Anthony Bourdain was on The Nerdist this
week.
He
was. I listened to this.
And I got to say, I'm back on board with Bourdain. For a while, he was losing me some, but I got the exact quote that he had here, where he said, let's see, where's the exact, what irritates me? I hate preaching to the converted. Actually, he said screeching
yeah.
to the converted. a nightmare would be for me to sit in a room where everyone totally agrees with everything I say. And I was like, okay, we're going to get the bagging on Fox News because, yes, Fox News is a preaching to the converted thing.
Oh, yeah.
But it is by fucking far not the only one.
Of course not.
Every fucking network does it. And we just need to admit that. And he says, you know, MSNBC, it's like every show they're saying, look at these stupid Republican morons did today. I'm guessing there aren't a lot of Republicans watching that channel. You're not changing hearts and minds. It just seems kind of pointless to me to shriek at each other that way, especially on issues like guns. There's some common ground to be had. And I just think this shrieking is helpful. And if talking through the issue doesn't work, he says he wishes people who disagree would at least have a beer, eat some fucking barbecue, listen to Lynyrd Skynyrd, and fucking relax.
Yes.
Like, oh my, he's like, I disagree with Ted Nugent on everything, but he's a good guy I can hang out with. And I hate the demonization that has now come where it's like when, you know, you say Republican or Democrat, like it's a bad word. I've hit a point now where if somebody says something like, you know, libtards or teabaggers, that basically means, oh, so you aren't able to have a mature discussion about this. Thank you for letting me know up front.
Yeah.
Because I don't have fucking time for that.
You've got to get to the point where you realize the game is rigged and they're just trying to separate you from your money.
Exactly.
And your money could mean your time.
Yes.
Or what have
you. They're trying to separate you from anything that is of value.
And that means not necessarily that they want to keep you separated from your neighbor, but if it's profitable, yes.
Oh, God, yes.
And there's no money in... Let's have a balanced discussion about the issues and how best to achieve those goals. You just isolate anyone that disagrees with you.
Yep. Exactly.
Whatever. It doesn't make a shit. You plug in what topic it is.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, right now, honestly, the more I look at it, fucking talk radio, the movie, that we need to have that made again today just to focus. But it's the same thing as A Face in the Crowd. I'd love to see either of those remade. However, I think either one remade would totally miss the fucking point. Because it would turn into partisan bashing.
Yeah.
And the point of those was not partisan bashing. It was, we have an opportunity to communicate. And that those opportunities are either wasted or totally exploited.
Well,
by both sides.
It got me, that whole thing got me thinking about that, when I say whole thing, the Bourdain show on the Nerdist. The level of insight to information.
Yeah.
There was a point where that water level kind of could even out at some point.
Right.
Maybe there was more insight in the culture. So you could look at the movie like Face in the Crowd, for example. And it had more of an impact because there was more insight in general.
Right.
Now, the insight is gossamer. And the information is huge. People will spit information at you all day long. Yep. Listening to... Rogan, and he had an author on, but they were talking about global warming or something. And I am of the firm opinion that I don't know.
That
full
is
stop.
How dare you?
That's it. That's
how
my,
dare you?
That's
sir.
My position. Officially,
I don't know anything about this shit.
I don't know shit about it.
Yeah,
I know what
here.
People say about it on one side. I know what the other people say about it on that side. I haven't done my due diligence on one side or the other.
Right.
To even understand it.
Yeah.
Joe was saying he was critical of somebody at his at jiu-jitsu about going off railing against global warming as a hoax because of this, that, and the other. And of course, Joe's like, are you a scientist? How do you know that?
Yeah. Yeah.
You just sound like an idiot, man. If you don't know anything, don't say it.
Yeah.
Then he went into... Well, you see, the cold and the heat is affected by global warming, and we've got to... Okay, dude. Yeah. Now, you're starting to slip. You're not a scientist either. Just because, what's-his-face, Tyson shows up on your show a couple of times and tells you his take...
Yeah, yeah.
Take!
Yeah.
On this doesn't mean that I'm... All right, I'll take that.
Yeah.
And run with it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Exactly.
But there's a lot of this.
Yeah, there's a whole lot of it. And it's
and like, a lot of that is happening with people's positions. They don't have any time to think about it. They
Well, throw it out. I realized a couple years ago when this... I'll say it right now. I am not a Republican or a Democrat. Libertarian is the closest I can come to that. I just want to be fucking left alone.
And that's muddy water.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah. Libertarian is... That's like saying that, you know, you like cheese.
Yeah.
What kind? I mean,
yeah, we're not official like party members.
Exactly.
We don't go to rallies.
No, not at all.
But if you go online and do a BuzzFeed,
yeah.
What kind of tree are you?
Exactly.
Libertarian would be the closest thing that you could come, I suppose.
Yeah, yeah. But somebody I knew posted this thing. It's like, dear Republican friends, will one of you please explain to me? And before I even got to the end of the sentence, I said, why the fuck should I explain anything to you? And I paused. I was like, oh, man. Holy shit. Why should – first off, you're demanding I explain something to you. Fuck you. Why should I? Why should I explain a fucking thing to you? Because the only responses I can think of there is, well, don't you want me to understand? I don't care if you understand or not. I don't need you to agree with my opinions for my opinions to have value for me. I don't need that. I don't care what your opinion is. Sorry. You know, and yes, I respect the fact that you have an opinion, but it has no impact on me. I don't care.
I am fucking Mycroft.
Yeah.
When it comes to that kind of shit,
I
would rather be thought wrong than have to explain
or put
why
forth any effort
any
to
effort.
Show why I'm
wrong. I don't give a shit.
And it was in
I'm
that
fine.
Moment I realized she did not want anyone to explain shit to her.
No.
She wanted either people to pat her on the back, to converted to be like, yeah, you're so right.
You
they're
tell
such
them, yeah.
idiots. Or a chance for somebody to say something so you can be like, how could you think that? And I'm like, that's not how I ever want to treat my friends. Ever.
No.
If I disagree with you politically, I would rather find something else to talk about. Because here's the thing. You're not going to change my mind.
Of course not.
And I respect you. If I'm your friend, I respect you and your opinion too much to try and change yours.
No.
You have an opinion you came out with. You came to through reason and thought. And if I respect you as a friend, I have to say, hey, I might not agree with it, but I'm going to respect the fact that you had your process that led you to this.
Sure.
And I'm going to leave that the fuck alone.
You want to have a conversation about that process.
Mm-hmm.
That's a different animal.
Yeah.
How did you arrive at that?
Yes.
The Dudley Campbell thing.
Uh-huh.
I believe X. Mm-hmm. Well, now he'll want every aspect of how you got there.
Yeah.
Well, and not in a confrontational way.
No, I remember being out in Refurio watching the Clarence Thomas hearings with your dad.
Yeah.
And basically just talking about it, and as a 16-year-old voicing opinions, and he's like, well, that's interesting. And literally engaging me in conversation about it, not just, oh, well, whatever. Literally talking to me and saying, okay, there's some, you know, you are showing that at least you've thought about these opinions.
Right.
Which, that was incredible. He's the first adult to ever treat me like an adult, which is why I love the old man.
Oh, yeah. He's great.
Mm. But
upsetting when you're a teenager of wildly conflicting opinions and parrot talk of your own, trying to figure out who you are. Like, well, explain yourself. Like, I fucking can't. I don't know.
I don't
15.
Know. I just think this.
Fucking okay. Rah.
Yeah, exactly. And it's great to hear Bourdain come out with that, because for a long time it was this, oh God, I'm so fucking tired of this. Like, you know, oh, what kind of Republican nefarious plan is this that Ted Nugent, like, okay, we get it. You don't agree with him politically. And the fact that he's just outright, like, I get along great with the guy.
Sure.
That there is somebody who is willing to outright say, no, I don't. Fuck, this is what pisses me off about Bill Maher. There was a documentary called Is It True What They Say About Ann Coulter?
Mm-hmm.
And Bill Maher was on it at one point saying, he was like, people say, how can you know you be friends with somebody who you feel so da-da-da-da-da different from? And he goes, is that really the world I want to live in, where I can't be friends with someone because I don't agree with them? And I'm like, God damn, Bill.
Well,
I get that he has the persona he has to shill on the air.
Yeah, yeah. That's where the money's at.
But it's like, God, it's so fucking refreshing to actually hear you come out and say, well,
then do a podcast where you can do that, because the people that sign his checks.
Oh, God, no. Yeah.
HBO. That's just.
Yeah. They're like, no, you got to be more incendiary.
I get it.
And wear that prick face some more.
I will say that Bourdain's propping up of Shanghai was a bit curious.
Yeah, well, his statement that he's made many times, because I've heard him talk about it a bunch, mm-hmm. when he talks about China, is he's like, they are our overlords.
Yep.
It just, because, and, but I've heard him explain it better. He says, I've met people in China, I've spent time over there. There are a bunch of people who are willing to work very hard to get what they want.
Yep, very hard.
And that is sort of what he's coming to. He's like, all that people think about Americans overseas is that we sell hamburgers to each other. And the fact that you've got these people who work their asses off for everything. And then on the other side, this, well, we have to do this to make it easier for these kids to blot. Like, one side that's making it harder for their cream to rise to the top, and another side, ours, making it so simple, like putting in a fucking elevator for it, you know?
Yes.
We have actually turned into Syndrome from the Incredibles. We want to remove the effort from achievement.
And make sure that they're getting $1.44 an hour.
Yeah. Yeah.
Makes growth incredibly easy.
Yeah,
when you have that.
When you've got somebody who is willing to go to work for $1.44 an hour, and
well, that's now.
That yeah,
they just got that raise as of April.
Right. Whereas so here, and I'm,
it's $231 a month.
And here's what I'm going to step back to on it here with the $15 an hour fast food wage. Do you know why when you go to the fast food restaurants now they have two windows? You pay and then you go and wait for your food. Do you know why they do that?
No.
Because back when it was one window, you'd sit there and wait for 10 minutes and then fucking leave. This way they get your money immediately and you have to stay. And look, I'm not saying that people shouldn't make a living wage or anything like that, but I think that if you are going to want me to pay you X amount, you've got to fucking show that you're worth that.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's a job that is a step away from being...
job.
Yeah.
You should be given a list of expectations.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is what this job pays and will pay
mm-hmm.
for, apparently you have to do this now, with X amount of effort.
Right.
If you actually put forth more of an effort,
mm-hmm.
you will be compensated for it.
What? That is just crazy.
But since you
talk,
have no
sir.
Fucking idea what that is.
Yeah. Yeah.
And think that we don't know out here because, you know, we have to clean bathrooms too.
Right.
Yeah, you do.
Uh-huh.
You do.
I have too, dude. Are you kidding?
In reference to this soundbite I heard on the radio or television, I can't remember, where a lady was complaining about not having a living wage because people don't understand. We don't just stand here at the register. We have to clean up bathrooms and other stuff.
I remember when I was a busser.
Yeah.
And I had to, in sometimes in the rain, take out
yes.
trash cans full of oyster shells and empty liquor bottles and dump them into a dumpster.
Mm-hmm.
And be done at work at 2 a.m. and have to be back at work at 6 a.m.
Yeah.
I mean, I've done that shit, and it sucks. But as Hope said, Hope put this beautifully. She was like, I've never had to ask for a raise.
No.
I've never been in a job where I've had to ask for a raise. I work my ass off, and they offer a raise.
Now, if you're working your ass off and said employer doesn't recognize yeah. that, that's a separate issue.
That's a totally separate issue, yes. Uh-huh. Do you need another? Or you
no, I'm fine.
Okay.
I'm going to... towel under. Oh, see,
this is why we don't get paid more.
Yeah, because we have towels.
Asshole leaving towels under our chairs.
Mm-hmm.
You like the guitars on the wall?
I do. I do enjoy that.
I'm probably gonna have to move that one because it's. I'm gonna need to put
precarious.
My computer over there.
Oh yeah.
I might put it in this closet where that Guinness flag is and figure it out from there. You know.
There you go.
But yeah. And again, this goes to. I get it. What your work is your work, but. Realize in Europe, they're replacing a lot of fast food workers with an order yourself screen.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Go to the grocery store. How many check yourself out aisles are there?
Exactly.
Yeah. That's where
There'll
we're going.
More.
Uh-huh.
Many yeah. more.
Because that's how that shit works. Mm-hmm. You know, it's supply and demand. You know, because it goes down to there's a difference between a first job and a career.
Yes.
You're going to tell me that a 16-year-old with no work experience deserves $30,000 a year?
No.
Because that's what $15 an hour is. That's
no.
30 grand
no.
a year. Because mm-hmm. here's the thing. That's not me saying whether or not they deserve it. You own a business. I'm going to put that to anyone listening. If you own a business and a 16-year-old comes in with no work experience, are you willing to take a chance on them for $8 an hour? Maybe. For $15 an hour? No.
No. There's no chance taken for $30,000.
Yeah. And that's just an unfortunate reality of things.
Whew. Sorry.
I still love what Chris Rock says. He's like, minimum wage is awful just because it's if we pay you less, we could, but it's against the law. The work
yes.
you do is
yeah.
worth 50 cents an hour and an order of fries.
Want to know how low that can go? Shanghai, where
yeah.
things work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But that's...
But historically, that's how a lot of things get built very fast.
Mm-hmm.
There is a class getting paid next to nothing. Mm-hmm. A class.
Yes.
In certain countries.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happens.
Yeah.
Just, not saying that Shanghai is.
No.
But
the simple fact that in India right now, there are still people classed as untouchables.
Yeah. And they will find, and the people in business, not the most ethical people, but the unethical people that happen to be in business,
mm-hmm.
will find a way to get the cheapest labor possible.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Everywhere.
Yep.
Even here.
I had it said to me when I was working at Dell. Well, here's the cost for X, Y, and Z. But the only cost that we can control as a company is what we pay you. And it was while we were sitting there in a meeting being told, we're going to pay you less money. And here's why it's a good thing.
Yes.
You want to talk about some motherfucker, the balls on, the fucking balls on this one.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
But, you know, that's.
That's how it goes.
Mm-hmm.
If my bosses could pay me less.
Oh, God, yeah.
They would.
Uh-huh. But again, it's one of those things where they understand who they have, the value of that work, and all of that.
The one cog in this machine down here.
Yeah.
So
yep.
That's it. That's mm-hmm. the only reason. Because mm-hmm. I'm on the frontier.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. But again, it's and I am by no means this straw man. Why do these people not want folks to get a living wage? I do. But you got to realize the way all of that shit works. If there's a $15 an hour minimum wage, then we are going to go back to, there was a guy that I work with who says, you know, there was a time when a toaster would cost a day's wages.
Mm-hmm.
But Grant, it would be the only toaster you'd ever buy. And I will prove this because I still have a working toaster that was given to my grandparents as a wedding present
right.
back in like the 30s. So yeah.
Yeah.
But we as a culture then have to be willing to take that hit. It's what's happening right now with the cabbies who just shot themselves squarely in the fucking foot
mm-hmm.
in Europe over Uber. Have you heard about this?
Oh, yes. Uber and Lyft. My friend Al Shire was on the news.
Yeah.
He's a cabbie, licensed, insured, mm-hmm. all that stuff. And he's one of the few in Austin that is in favor of it.
Yeah.
He just wants it all to be the same rules.
Yeah.
And pay for the same insurance and stuff that he has to do.
Right.
I don't see a problem with that at all.
Yeah, nor do I, as long as it's an even field. But when you've got folks saying, we're just going to shut down traffic. Oh, so you're going to piss people off at you.
I've never been to London.
Yeah.
And I know the traffic's bad in London.
Yeah, it's terrible. That's why the
And not just stopping. They're going slow.
Mm-hmm.
That is diabolical.
That is, yeah.
Like, let's just go really, really slow and fuck up everything. I'll give them the hint that things might speed up at some point.
I mean, in my mind, I'd just be like, cool, I'll just take the tube.
Right.
The tube don't go slow.
Nope.
Tube's very fast.
Find the gap.
In a tube, no less. Underground, a series of tubes. So to break away from Sirius for just a moment here, I made an awesome discovery last week. Have you ever heard of a thing called the Miracle Berry?
No. Is this the flavor tripping thing?
Yes.
You were telling me about it last time we recorded.
Okay,
and
we did.
And my brain turned to tapioca with more better vegetables to put in your mouth.
I actually did it. We actually have done it since then. I took a bite of a lemon,
mm-hmm.
and it tasted like the most delicious lemonade I have ever had in my life.
Oh my God.
I took a bite out of a lime. It tasted like delicious key lime pie.
What?
It is weird. It's fucking bizarre. Evidently, you can go all kind of crazy with it. It just basically shuts off all of the bitter and tang. Everything you taste is sweet. Guinness tastes like a delicious chocolate milkshake.
Good Lord, it's already pretty close.
Yeah, but oh, no. This goes beyond. It tastes like the most delicious chocolate milkshake
I don't know what
you've ever imagined.
It's like someone trying to explain an Ibogaine trip right now. What? No.
You do ayahuasca and get in a deprivation tank.
And then to a giant snake.
You turn.
And then you can see your own Christ consciousness. Where are you going? I'm going off the wall like the Kool-Aid man.
Yeah.
Because I'm not puking in the woods to see God.
Yes.
Hashtag not puking in the woods to see God.
That is the greatest hashtag we've ever come up with.
Yeah.
But yeah, that shit is fucking awesome.
Yet.
So I'll say, you got to try it.
I will. Well, I would like to try things that I don't like normally.
I have some here. I'll hook you up. Because it's weird because it's this little tablet. It's like just a little pill. And you have to let there and just basically dissolve it on your tongue.
So
and
only
it takes
thing,
a
only
while.
Sweet things?
It does affect other stuff. I've got a list.
Like, could you eat, what do I hate?
Hang on one moment. Let me see something here. I'll give you the, there's a sheet that comes with
broccoli.
It.
Broccoli? I don't hate broccoli, but I'm not the biggest fan. Well, let me Brussels sprouts.
I don't know what effect that would have, but.
They're very bitter.
If they're bitter, then it should do it. Here's the stuff that they recommend for the curious. Lemons and limes, oranges, tomatoes, cranberries, grapefruit, kiwi, pineapple. Granny Smith apples taste incredible on it. For the adventurous, rhubarb, mustard, ketchup, salt and vinegar chips, sour cream, pickles. For the enlightened, hot sauce, balsamic vinegar, generic tequila, goat cheese, and blue cheese. It just makes things sweet. Yes.
How long does it last?
About 2 hours.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, it's not bad.
They should call it the more better vegetables.
Berry. Yeah, that would be a perfect title, I think.
Rather than Berry.
Mm-hmm.
Mary and Berry.
Nice.
I know what's going on. This makes cocaine better cocaine. Bitch, set me up.
Bitch, set me up. How dare you? How dare you?
Barbaric.
We have now come to, Hope and I have had this discussion for a while. Another way to immediately discount someone as an asshole is if they ever say, how dare you? Seriously. It's the Piers Morgan principle.
I don't know anyone who does that.
She actually, Hope, told me about this girl she went to high school with who did that once, where she said something, they were talking about something, and Hope was trying to understand what she was saying, so she sort of summarized it. And this girl looked at her and did this. She goes, how dare you?
I pledge allegiance to you daring me.
Put that hand right over the heart in that you have just wounded my soul.
God.
Oh, yeah. Those assholes.
I wonder what Big Flats would taste like on berry.
Probably be amazing. We'll have to try that sometime.
Mm.
Also, my godson, CJ.
Yes.
Is now officially, Hope's like, the kid's got game. Because we were having dinner the other night, and he's sitting next to Hope eating, and he puts a french fry in his mouth, and he's like, you eat the other end. And she kind of leaves down and took a bite, and he's like, no, keep going. I was like, that little motherfucker is trying.
Hey, man.
That fucking 3-year-old, no, 4, he's barely 4, is trying to kiss my girlfriend in
horning
front of
into
me.
My brush.
You little son of a bitch.
Wow.
How dare you?
The brass, Richardson.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, another thing that Bourdain said on that thing I'm going to go to, we're going to talk food since we're talking food. Mm-hmm. He always made that statement about how he hates the folks that, you know, if you go to a sushi restaurant and mix the wasabi with the soy sauce, then you should. But
the way
he clarified it, though, when he's like, if you haven't even tasted it and you're making this slurry right away while sitting across from a guy who spent 7 years working on the rice. And not even trying, you're killing him. And then that's when it comes down to,
maybe,
like, with me, when I went to Sullivan's that time, and the woman got the amazing filet, and without even taking a bite, specifically requested A1 steak sauce.
Yeah, that's
like,
crime.
Try it first. And like with the sushi, if you've got someone who's a master, who's worked their ass off at it.
And this is explained to you.
Yes.
That's a pretty big proviso.
Try it first and then make your slurry.
Yeah. If someone says, okay, whoa, let me explain to you what we're having here.
Right.
Before you even get there.
Right. Right.
We're going to one of the finest sushi places in all of Japan.
Right. It's not like
not
if you
Japan
go to fucking,
town in fucking Cleveland.
Yeah, not if you go to Uchi.
No.
You know, yeah.
We're going here. This is what we're going to experience.
Mm-hmm.
This is a place where you need to put yourself in the chef's hands.
Yeah. Did you see?
That's a different animal.
Have you watched any of the Bourdain Parts Unknown?
No.
The Tokyo episode is fucking incredible.
That's what I hear.
Because he goes to this, I forget the guy's name, but he used to run a sushi place in New York, and now it's just him working out of this just incredible shit that he's, he's very like focused, and it's incredible. It's a very cool show. I think you'll like it. But I get that. The way he said it, I was finally like, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I totally get where you're coming from with this.
If you are going to a place and have that explained to you, then absolutely that's the protocol that you should look at it. And after that's been explained to you, and you still ask for ketchup, or you still dunk that perfectly decayed piece of perfect fish on the perfect bed of rice or whatever into the soy sauce, then he should probably reach over and say, may I slap you in the face?
Yeah.
Yes. May I slap you in the face?
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, regardless of the experience you have chosen to put yourself in, Is it free?
Yeah.
Are you paying for it?
Uh-huh. Then I get to eat it how I want it.
See, I found myself listening to the show and going in and out of, fuck yeah, from the foodie cook side of me. Uh-huh. And then that fucking screaming devil's reject guy from the woods who just wants to, like, throw cheap beer on that guy, hit him with a shovel,
right,
and go eat a hot dog at a Costco. Not even a Costco.
Yeah, why are you putting on airs?
Yeah, just like, God damn it. Just eat some fucking nachos and shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
You were fucking servants.
Yeah.
Cooks were servants. We were all just fucking slave class. Who gives a shit?
Yeah.
God damn it. Everybody give us so fucking upset about, oh, you can't do that, you can't do that.
But here's the beauty, I will say. If you were to say to Bourdain, hey, let's go eat some fucking nachos at the gas station, he'd probably be like, let's go get some fucking nachos.
I'm not bitching about Bourdain.
Oh, yeah.
It was just my inner
general
conflict.
Asshole. Yeah, I'm totally with you on that.
Like, he would talk about how to best engage people like Ted Nugent or people in the Bible Belt or whatever.
Right.
As he would engage a foreign country. I'm like, well, that makes sense, and it's very reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
And then 20 minutes later, and I'm as guilty, and collectively we're as guilty as this, Guy Fieri, that motherfucker, donkey sauce, waka, waka, waka. Yeah, he's like,
the whole thing about...
Blonde hair is the front lawn of hell, Hardy Har.
I do love the whole... I don't want to have to... explain to my daughter why I'm doing shots off some kid, you know, something. But the whole question about at what point is Guy Fieri going to have to undouche himself? Like, is he going to be an old man with the reading glasses on the back of the head?
He fucking should.
Yeah.
If I were there with Guy Fieri, I would take his side. And if Guy were the first to go off about Bourdain, I'd probably be on Bourdain's side.
Right.
My point is there's this strain of curmudgeon that is threatening to bust out of my skull fully formed like Athena with a list of grievances.
Right. Yeah, right? I gotcha.
Look, yes. In fact, he should have his reading glasses on back. His blonde, spiky hair should get taller.
Right.
His tattoo should become, you know, multi-layered and fucking only seen under a black light.
Mm-hmm.
He should have his whole arm should be covered. Actually, you can't see the tattoos or all the sweatbands.
Oh, nice.
From Flavortown.
Yeah, yeah.
Whatever.
Well, you'll love this. There's a guy that I used to work with who said he was a coach, a high school coach in Texas who went to Harvard. He's like, I'm a color. What's the big deal? I'm a crimson. Big deal. But he's telling me how he coached this peewee basketball team, and he was like, we sucked. We were the worst team in the league. We were awful. So we decided that we were going to lead the league in sweatbands. We all had like the big sweatband, the little band on the bicep, headbands, mid wrist band, like nice. Forearm sweatbands like that. We're going to lose. So we're going to lead the league in sweatbands.
That's
great. Respect that.
I do.
Well, there is something kind of beautiful about a person who no matter what it is like, yep, is what I like.
Yeah.
Yep. Totally.
And it should be like that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Not that someone's not free to say that your hair is the front lawn of hell.
Yeah. Which is. Calm down, sir.
Really?
We need to dial this back a bit.
But he probably, if he were to look back at that, go, I know a guy. I've met him. I probably shouldn't say his hair is the front lawn of hell.
Right.
But
right.
It's so fucking easy.
It really is.
Donkey sauce.
It's a slam dunk. It genuinely is. Although I do, from what I understand, Guy is fucking worst. He's just...
Maybe he's an asshole. I have no idea.
I read something from someone who edited some of his shows, and it was like cutting around him staring at chicks' tits took half of our time. That was half of what we were doing. And my favorite...
I like him more already.
One of my favorite... Whoa, that's a great weird. Belch line.
Yeah, what a terrible human being Guy Fieri is.
One of my favorite lines about that was from Parks and Rec. She is the worst person I've ever met in my life, and I've met Guy Fieri.
Yeah.
He's it's just so easy. Too easy.
It is too easy. It writes itself. It's that low-hanging fruit
Dude, I know we've talked about it before, but shit, I love this room. I fucking seriously love this room.
It's really quite wonderful.
Yeah, the Christmas lights make it. I'm going to extend some more around to get a little brighter, but this is the perfect lighting for it.
It's perfect.
That fucking blackout curtain. That motherfucker is expensive.
Yeah.
That is like, we were going to get those for the whole place. Hope's like, just go ahead and buy one, blah, blah, blah. Brought it home. She's like, so how much was it? 60.
$8. She goes, no, we're not doing any more. No. I go, exactly. My mother is begging us to make curtains for us. So let's take her up on that. She's hopes like we have to pick out a comforter. My mother wants to make a comforter for us.
Good Lord.
Well, right now my mom's got, and this isn't too personal. It's not terrible. She has C. diff, which is terrible. It's awful. So she can't leave the house.
Right.
So it's like, she's
might as well.
Fucking do this. She loves doing that shit. She loves sewing. And having, goddamn, I love looking up at the posters and all that.
It's great.
A space.
It's like a little band room.
It really is.
For the band.
Yeah, exactly. Beautiful. Exactly. And this leads us perfectly to it. There's been talk, and I have never been more in favor of anything in my life than the Danzig riding a dragon statue
on
fucking Red River in Austin.
Yes.
I want that so fucking bad. For those, I don't know how widespread this hit, but there is a movement in Austin that I read about from people outside of Austin.
Right.
That somebody wants to build a statue of Glenn Danzig riding a dragon in the middle of, it's Red River, right?
I think so.
Which is...
With red fake ruby eyes, of course.
Oh, fuck yeah. For those who don't know, basically 6th Street is the big musical district in Austin. And over the years, it's kind of spread out some. But Red River is this street that crosses 6th. And it, as of about 10 years ago, really started exploding as the place for really cool live music.
Yeah, beyond the binge drinking college types.
Yeah, yeah.
Even though they're making their way.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, my friend Mario sent that link to me.
Mm-hmm.
I commented that they should have not only the Danzig on a dragon, but also a Danzig and a dragon fighting a Dio on a giant tiger or a dragon. I can't remember what I said.
I think it would be on a griffin.
That wasn't the separate one. That they could fight, or there could be Danzig on a dragon holding Dio on a tiger that has a griffin. And the griffin's beak is Henry Rollins.
I could totally be down for that.
Yeah.
I could completely be down for that. Yeah. And they're all standing on top of John Lydon.
Yeah. Yes.
Yes.
That'd be perfect.
Dude, speaking of that shit, we totally have to take that fucking train down to hit Casino for some burgers soon.
Yeah, we do. When it's not the Rot Rally.
Yeah.
Or
is Rot happening right now, too?
Weekend.
Oh, fuck yeah. Avoid like the plague.
All of it. 100,000 bikers.
It reminds me, during Rot Rally many years ago, this girl that I knew created a joke. She just came up with it. And it may have been told many times before. I don't know. She claimed is another joke I invented. Was what is the difference between a vacuum cleaner and a Harley Davidson? The location of the dirt bag.
Oh my!
That's rude. Wow.
That's terrible. Barbaric. That's not true at all. Mostly rich urban bikers.
I know. Yeah.
Descending.
Yeah. Now it's just like, hello, look at this. I've got my.
Have you ever been there during the?
Yeah.
During
God,
rally?
Dude.
Oh my God.
I was working on Idiocracy. I was down on 6th Street. With Randall and Terry Crews during Rally of Texas.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, I've experienced it.
It's quite the scene.
It really is. It's really gross. It's really fucking
weird. There's a lot of...
That's all it is.
A lot of brand new skull caps, a lot of brand new chaps on people... This is a 22-year-old me looking back now.
Yes.
Like, wow, is that all of that and that mustache, huh?
Yeah.
That's what we're doing. Even though I look like a fucking river rat in duct tape boots.
Right.
Commenting on someone's style choices. But
Macho man.
Huh.
I mean, the fact that now you look like a bouncer at a strip club in Orlando.
Not really.
Not really. For a while you did.
For a while I did. When I had a haircut, yes.
Oh, yeah.
That's what happens. But yeah, it's quite the scene.
It really is. It quite
flats
is.
Me.
All right.
One moment.
See, I love this. Big flats. It's so delicious.
And I think the best new ad from Pettit, because Mitchell would.
Because Mitchell would. He would, too.
Keep an eye.
Keep your eye on the sandwich.
And now I got to ask, how hard is it going to be for you to leave knowing that we could sit in those chairs and watch any episode?
Pretty fucking hard.
Of MST3K we want.
I don't want to stomp on you and Hope's plans on the 29th, but I'm going to be right there.
Okay. What is the 29th?
June 29th. The wife has to go to a baby shower.
Don't, okay. By the 29th, we should. Okay.
I don't give a shit if you're not here.
Okay, cool, cool, cool. Actually, that should be perfect because my move day has been moved to the 26th. So by that point, I'm planning on being
done. Or that week, that Saturday.
Yeah. Oh, shit. Yeah. We'll make it work, dude. We'll make it work. Once I figure out how to get rid of the goddamn washer and dryer and desk, which is really hard to do in an apartment like that. Just part of me is thinking, just leave it.
I have.
I've done that before.
I've done that.
I left a futon.
Yeah.
Like, fuck this place. I'm out.
I left a whole bunch of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
When I had that rapid move from North Austin all the way to New Braunfels, I got the job, and they were like, okay, we need you here now. They paid me to move, but only so much.
Right.
Like, well, it's yours.
I can't even wrap my head around how many beer cases.
Oh, that had been gone.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Mm.
But, yeah,
it was bad. It was
pretty bad.
Pretty bad. Like, pretty bad.
Have you cleaned it? Fucking bill me. Here's the keys.
Yeah. Well, my place.
I didn't tell you where to find me.
Yeah.
Bill me.
I've lived there 8 years.
Wow.
There's no cleaning happening. Everything in it is going to be replaced.
Yeah.
To give you an idea, 3 years ago, they walked through my apartment for the, you know, they just did the state of the, just checking everything out. Like,
state of the property walk. Yeah.
We don't do cabinets or closets or tile.
This like entire apartment's been frozen in amber.
Yeah. The woman who worked there was like, I didn't know we had apartments that looked like this. Like, oh. Wonderful.
Wonderful. Do you have floors that are like this?
Yeah.
Because it's wacky shack.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That thing, that building's going to collapse. A building is going to fucking collapse. It is awful.
You may need more than a can of paint.
Yeah.
On this particular building.
Yeah. Oh, everything's going to get pulled out of there. It's going to be gutted entirely. So.
8 years.
8 years. Yeah. 8 fucking years. And now I move here.
Yeah.
And I could live in this room for the rest of my life and be okay.
Pretty much.
It'd be pretty good. Especially once I get Netflix. Once I get the Netflix and the Hulu and the Amazon hooked up on this bitch, which I hung that TV myself. I'm proud of it.
Good job.
Thank you. And what I love is when you're drilling the big bolts into the wall, how you can tell when you've hit the stud because you're like, and then boom, the drill turns and your hand almost breaks.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yes.
Let's go slowly.
Yes, you do. Yes, you certainly do. Slowly. Now, speaking of internet hooked up, most of the shit I've been watching has been on Hulu. And I've got to say, I am stunned by the sentence that's going to come out of my mouth next. I really like The Mindy Project. That Mindy Kaling show.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's the ancillary characters are fucking genius on it. One of the best lines from it. If it wasn't for Wendy, like, where would you be? And this guy's like, working at that fake Popeyes over on Brooklyn Avenue. Just what? That's awesome.
Fake Popeyes.
But here's the thing. There's ads. I have to watch commercials now. And I have a new fucking worst commercial I've ever seen in my life. There is an ad on Hulu for PayPal.
Okay.
And I want to fucking punch this woman to death. She's like, there's some things in life that aren't easy. Rocket science, that's hard. Brain surgery, that's hard too. Buying things online should be easy, but it's not. Wait for it. Oh, no, no. You have to enter your address, your billing address, your credit card number, expiration date.
What?
It's just a big hassle. Like, shut the fuck up. Oh, shut your goddamn mouth.
I suppose if it's 2000.
That is wildly difficult. But thanks to PayPal, you don't have to do that now. Yeah, and I'll be honest, I love PayPal for that. I do. But I've never been like,
the same thing on Amazon.
Honey, I'm not going to be able to go to dinner tonight. I have to enter my address, my billing address, my credit card number, and expiration date.
Security code? What are we in, Chechnya?
Yeah, what the fuck? I'm sorry. I didn't realize that this was Germany.
I'm done.
I'm done. I'm out. I don't need to buy this thing, which obviously I don't need to. I'm using PayPal to pay for something. It's not a desperate need.
It really isn't.
It really is not. It is the high-end luxury.
One-click ordering on Amazon for more shit you don't need.
Exactly. Oh, dude, I'm all about one.
But I am about it.
Oh, hell yeah. I do that shit.
They still do the security words.
No.
Not security words. They have like the
the little crypto glyph.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do that on some things, but not all the time. It's an odd one. It's an odd one, dude. It really is. It really fucking is.
Yeah, it's so fucking
And that
hard.
Shit pisses me off so much. It's because they're lazy shaming me. And by the way, I am now totally opposed to the term shaming.
Of anything.
That's just fat shaming. Look, if you're ashamed of yourself for being fat, that's on you. This person has nothing to do with it.
No. And if you're not that ashamed about it, you haven't done anything about it.
Yeah.
That's coming from a fat person.
Did I ever tell you the moment that I decided I had to lose weight on the last big round? And for those who haven't listened, I was at a Flogging Molly concert at Stubbs Outdoor, which is a nice place. And I was back in the porta potty going to the bathroom.
It's already a good time.
I have multiple...
the fire rises.
I have said multiple times, if you're in a porta potty... that's the worst part of your day.
Pretty much.
Doesn't matter what else happens. It could be a miserable day to begin with, but if you have to enter a porta potty, it has just hit the bottom of that day. And I buttoned my shorts, and the button popped off and went right into that slurry.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, oh, man, I'm now that guy.
Yeah.
I am now that guy. That's almost breaking a toilet bad for me. That was back when I weighed like 340 pounds.
Oh, yeah.
I was so fat. I haven't reached that level again. No. I have not, which I'm happy to say.
I was once 340 some odd pounds.
Mm-hmm.
Those were dark days, my friend.
Oh, dude. That, back in the days when we would sit in your living room and drink fucking 30 beers each while watching TV.
Like, better start early.
Yeah, dude,
I want to get my buzz on by midnight, so I got to start drinking at 3.
I'm considering getting an extra cable box for up here. So that when we have our fuck it, let's hang out, we can watch Metal Mania up here. Because it's like $8 a month for another cable box.
Oh. Why are you getting this extra cable box, Mr. Dirks? Metal Mania.
Yeah. Pretty much. That's all. And so I can watch football games up here.
The football.
And it won't be in the bedroom because, as I've told Hope, no, I don't like having the distraction of actual TV. We'll just watch Hulu and Amazon and Netflix in there, but not DVR stuff. We're not goddamn animals.
Couldn't possibly.
Speaking of metal, did you hear the Axl Rose response to being voted the greatest vocalist of all time? Like there was something where he was voted like the greatest rock singer of all time through Rolling Stone. I would like to read Axl Rose's response.
Okay.
If I had to say who I thought the best singers were, I'd say first that I don't know that there's a definitive answer, as in my opinion, it's subjective. And second, that my primary focus is rock singers. I enjoy Freddie Mercury, Elvis Presley, Paul McCartney, Dan McCafferty, Janis Joplin, Michael Jackson, Elton John, Roger Daltrey, Don Henley, Jeff Lynne, Johnny Cash, Frank Sinatra, Jimmy Scott, Etta James, Fiona Apple, Chrissy Hynde, Stevie Wonder, James Brown, a ton of others, and would rather hear any of them sing anytime rather than me. That is the only way you can fucking gracefully handle getting
correct,
something
Axel.
Like that. Yeah, like,
that is correct.
Whether or not he believes it, I don't care.
I don't care either.
That he had the fucking sense to say that.
But I agree.
Yeah.
With everything you said.
Yeah.
I'd rather hear any of them.
Yeah.
Then listen to you.
Especially now. Have you heard what he sounds like now?
Can't do it anymore. No.
There was a time, there's this cracked thing where I
work in San Antonio. I'm surrounded.
Yeah. But I still stand by, there was a time when Axl Rose defined what cool was.
Sure.
And fuck, he was incredible.
The whole band was.
Yeah. I still maintain Appetite might be the best debut album ever.
It's certainly up there. I mean, and at the time, I could not play anything else.
Oh, hell no.
It was amazing.
And then when the Use Your Illusions came out, it was like, fuck.
But,
you mean I can listen to one and then two? What?
But, man. Oh,
Shiny Democracy.
And fucking Pretty Hate Machine from Nine Inch Nails.
Oh, yeah.
I am done with it.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's understandable, sir. That's understandable. Actually, now that we're mentioning this, I've got to find you've got to hear what he sounds like now, because it is, I'm trying to figure out what the word is, but I think the term I would use for it is not fucking good. Let me. I got to pull this up because it is. It is seriously.
I'll give you fucking rock and roll. That's rock and roll.
Jambalaya, crawfish pie, and filet gumbo. Son of a bitch, we'll have big fun on the motherfucking bayou.
That's rock and roll.
But there is this just genuinely awful. There are these awful recordings. There's this thing called four musical performances that will ruin your childhood. And it's like, you know, David Lee Roth riding this giant inflatable microphone on stage. And he's like, that's not what a rock musician does. That's something that you have at a party for your four-year-old child because they mentioned one point that they might want to be a singer and you're a shitty parent.
Sounds like somebody is a Hagar fan.
Yeah. I like Hagar. I'm sorry.
I do too, but...
Yeah.
You don't question David Lee Roth.
How did they make Sarp?
On a giant inflatable microphone?
Are you certain? Because I think you can.
You can, but you'd be wrong. It's David Lee Roth.
And he could kung fu the ass off of you, couldn't he?
I think that's what David Lee... What the fuck? What else would he do? Sit up there and perform? No!
All right, let me see if I can find this. Okay, let's see if we can get to Axl Rose singing.
Cause... Michael Bublé on a giant microphone. Yeah, it's weird.
Yep. That's David Lee Roth humping a giant inflatable microphone. This is the work of a prop department that deeply hates the band that they work for. I mean, that's what you put in a pool at a seven-year-old's birthday party because you think you remember them saying they want to be a rock singer once, and you're the sort of parent who doesn't pay much attention to your kids in this metaphor. Body language doesn't do much to dispel
the
image.
Let's see here.
At the end where...
You've got to hear the whole thing.
I hope you're happy. Maybe it was the way the part at the end...
I need to play the whole Axl Rose bit.
Everything he does screams, "Wee, it's a pony and I'm a cowgirl." And also... You forever having thought we were cool suckers. Ha ha ha, I had sex with half your wives.
Okay.
When I was seven, my mom caught me watching the Paradise City video, and she turned to my older sister and said, "Well, you've ruined your brother. I hope you're happy." Maybe it was the way the part at the end where everything just goes f***ing insane made my pupils dilate out of my retinas, or the way I just lit the couch on fire. That's the sort of thing parents aren't supposed to actually worry about unless they're the cliched uptight parents from TV ads for extreme Nerf products. The idea that he would ever be less cool than either of my parents had ever been at any point in their long, devoutly uncool, straightforward parenting careers was completely unfathomable to me. And still is. And yet, this.
I just love your face right now.
It's like whatever.
It's like Greg Allman ate Van Morrison.
Got flipped exactly backwards. The hat and bandana have been replaced by a Carmen Sandiego hat, jeans that probably cost more than the entire Paradise City video. The rampaging energy and weaponized mic stand replaced by these little white guy dancing to rap music sidestep maneuvers he's clearly been practicing in front of a mirror. Like, damn, man, maybe practice those breathing exercises singers do so you just never, ever make that face again. Now you're trying to hurt me, aren't you? Look, I'm sort of impressed by how exactly wrong all your instincts are at this point on just everything. And on the plus side, you've grown a beard instead of just taping sponge to your face. But you wouldn't have the sweating problem in the first place if you hadn't built your entire look around an electric yellow Patting the Bear jacket. Well, it's like the old adage goes.
There was a time, as he pointed, there was a time when Axl Rose was so cool that his fucking Rolling Stone magazine cover was a fucking poster.
Yeah.
A dude without a shirt on, in jeans, without a shirt on, and guys had that poster on their wall.
Yeah.
And you'd walk in and be like, oh, that's badass.
Now, great band.
Why do you have a poster of a guy without a shirt on your wall, buddy?
Yeah.
What's up here? Do we need to have a talk?
Why did what's-his-face from Lost Boys have a Rob Lowe poster on his door?
Why wouldn't he? It was shirtless Rob Lowe.
Yeah. At that.
You know, when I was that age, I had that awesome Carol Alt poster where she was wearing the white thing with the water spray. Yeah.
She's not a supermodel.
No, not at all. And I didn't care. Well, like, who gives a fuck? Who genuinely cares? She's a lovely lady, Frederick.
Oh,
Froderick.
Did you have the giant swatch?
No, I never
had. Did you have a Ace Watch?
No, I did not.
Me neither.
I lived in fucking Panama. Oh, also, okay, I got to tell you this, man.
El Swatch.
El Swatchero. Por favor. Now, why'd he go Italian? I don't know.
I don't know.
So Hope and I, there is a gas station down the street from us here.
Bullshit.
Yes, I know. That brags the best wine selection in town, and it has it. It's crazy. It's got this whole back room full of wine. It's,
you know,
nuts.
Why? We are in spitting distance of Crystal Falls proper.
Yes. And what is that a dry? Or, no. Oh, it's money.
A lot
yeah.
of money.
So we go in there, and Hope picks out the cheapest wine she can find. Now, for the longest time, we joked about there's this great moment from a Brooklyn Nine-Nine where Andy Samberg's trying to impress his boss's husband. His boss is a gay black man. Who has he walks into the store. He's like, I would like your finest bottle of wine. That'll be $800. He goes, I would like your $9 bottle of wine. And he gives it to the guy, and he takes it. He goes, oh, I thank you for this wine drink. Legally, this has to be called wine drink. Hope bought these two giant things of cheap wine. We were drinking them, like, why does this taste like weird grape juice? And then we looked at the label, and it said, a wine beverage.
Nice.
And I'm like, Hope, you just fucking bought two giant bottles of wine drink.
Wine drink.
It tasted vaguely...
On a scale of...
Everclear and Welch's. Oh. But a very small quantity of Everclear. With the Welch's.
Ooh.
Or like if you got some really good wine and then mixed in...
With Welch's?
Some Welch's. It's like, I like wine, but I like candy more.
If you yes.
Have you ever taken wine and dropped a bunch of grape Jolly Ranchers in it? No, because you're a grown-ass man. This is what I would imagine it tastes like. Like the urine of Satan after a healthy portion of asparagus. It was cute. It was cute as hell. And just,
so you drank a bunch of MD 2020.
Essentially, but no, not as cool as that. not as cool as that as all.
It's not as retro cool.
No, nowhere near as retro cool.
Not nearly as good as the MD 2020 Blackie Lawless got.
Wow. We were actually, she drank a bunch of it whilst we watched the Rocky movies up here.
That's cool.
She actually, and it's funny, Hope does not like anything sad. So the fact that I've gotten her to watch Game of Thrones is a fucking miracle. Like, I literally could be canonized for getting her to watch Game of Thrones and Breaking Bad. But, so we watched Rocky 1, Rocky 2, Rocky 3, and she'd already seen 4. Then we jumped to Balboa.
Good.
And
good
she's
move.
Like, there better not be anything sad in this. There better not be. And I'm like, duh. Then at the beginning, she's like, why is he waking up alone? I was like, oh, shit.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Right off the fucking bat.
They couldn't get her for some reason.
Yeah.
So.
Like, just right off the goddamn bat. Just.
She gone. The Lord knocked her out.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. She had the lady kids. But I will say, it was the one time that they finally fucking made Polly redeemable. You treated her good. You got good memories. I treated her bad. I got. Yeah.
Oh, Pauly. Don't worry about that. Mm-hmm. Just work on building some hurting bombs. Crack, hurtin bomb. Crack. Yeah. Fucking,
I love that they
got up in the theater.
When they got Duke back, it's like, shit, yeah. I saw that man take a beating like nothing I've ever seen before, and he kept coming. We don't want no part of that.
Just love that movie.
That first one, oh, Jesus, it's so good. And it's, what I love about the first Rocky is everyone thinks it's one thing, and then you show it to them if they've never seen it before, and it's like, hey, motherfucker, are you crying at the end of a Rocky
movie? It is really, yeah.
No, I'm not crying. Yeah, you crying at the end of a Rocky
Every
movie.
Every Stallone movie is not Rambo 3.
No, it's not. No.
It really isn't.
There, no, not
it
at all.
It probably should be.
Yeah.
Oh, but it
yeah.
isn't.
Mujahideen.
It's good stuff.
Yeah, it's undeniable,
but,
sir.
But people that haven't seen Rocky tend to think of it in those terms.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
Some
yeah.
Some big overblown bullshit. No.
No, no. The no. first one was nothing. But
Kiss. 4 is.
Oh, 4 totally is.
And it's fantastic.
Yeah. Dude, people forget, you know, fucking the first one, Butt Kiss. How do you not love a movie where you, was he Butt Kiss? That big fucking stupid happy dog. Just. Yeah. Oh, God damn. I will watch Rocky any fucking time. Just. Oh,
it's fuck. Good. I'll tell you what's not good.
What's not?
Yeah. From what I've seen.
Yes.
The wife wanted to watch the Tonys. So we watched the Tonys.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah.
I'll tell you why not. they give you little pieces of each show that's on Broadway at the time.
Did you see
the
Neil
ones that are nominated?
Did you see Neil Patrick Harris Hedwig it up?
Yes, I did. Yeah. It looked like Neil Patrick Harris in Hedwig cosplay, but well, maybe it's, I don't know. Yeah. How am I supposed to get it?
What do you want from me?
That's good. Is it? I'm like, as you say, I'm a dog looking at a fan.
Yeah.
Oh, this dance is amazing. Oh yeah.
Okay.
I am not judgmental about it. I'm just watching it. Like,
dude, we're two people who have done musical theater.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, we're two guys. Just before we get any fucking frat boy bullshit, we met at drama camp.
Yeah, I've danced across stage. In makeup. Yeah. I had a yo-yo on top of a trash can. I was in West Side Story.
He's psychologically disturbed.
I got it. I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah.
But there are certain things I don't understand, even though it's good. And I can still appreciate it, even though I have no fucking concept of tap dance.
Yes. Yeah.
At all. I never had to do tap dance. I switched departments pretty soon before that was even going to be a requirement. Yeah. I probably left because I heard that somewhere now.
Yeah. I'm going to have to tap dance? Like, fuck this.
Nope. I'm in the anthropology department.
Yeah. Why can I not just do the De Niro school of acting?
Yeah. Isn't there acting I'm supposed to do and not this? You have to be well-rounded. I think you're lying.
Yeah. I think you're full of shit.
I have to be well-rounded if I go to Broadway.
Yeah.
I don't want to go to Broadway, baby.
I admitted pretty early on. See, the reason I stopped acting was because I'm like, I'm going to have to learn how to do all this shit just so I can basically spend my entire life playing Lenny.
Yeah.
That's all I'm ever going to play. That. Let's be honest here.
I don't need to learn tap to be a bouncer. I don't.
You don't. You genuinely don't.
The heavy in the background with the gun.
Mm-hmm.
Tap my ear.
Yep.
We have the package, sir.
Yeah.
You don't have to do that.
It's in.
I don't have to study Kabuki Theater. No. I don't. I fucking don't. I don't need to learn fucking light patterns. I don't need to.
Yeah, sorry.
Sorry. I know that's wrong, but that's why I fucking failed out, yo.
Yeah.
I'm out.
That happened.
Out.
We're done.
Barbaric. I watch a lot of this brave theater, just kind of
brave.
Okie dokie.
Mm.
Well done. That Hugh Jackman's quite the song and dance man.
He is.
Huh.
He's got some ability.
How about that?
Yes.
Oh, so Rocky's a musical now.
Oh, yeah. You've heard this.
Yeah, I saw the little package they put together. No.
What kind of songs did they have?
Well, they had the you could see how they put a montage together on stage.
Right.
Which, the only way you could do it. Multiple people dressed the same. Light here, light there, light here, light there. Okay, that's kind of cool. To the Eye of the Tiger. But they didn't really do much of the singing. I just went from that straight to the fight with Apollo Creed. And a spinning boxing ring and announcers. I think as much as I love Rocky, and I'm sure Sly is heavily involved in getting paid very well for it.
Oh, yes.
And all the success in the world.
Oh, yes.
But I'm pretty sure we probably need to mine some different ground for musicals.
Yeah.
We don't need to turn everything into a musical.
No, we really don't.
In my opinion. Just...
Allegedly, your opinion.
Allegedly, in my opinion.
Yeah. I can't disagree.
Les Mis is back, and I kind of understand that.
Well, yeah.
Like,
there was that terrible movie. I got to say, speaking, though, of movie musicals, Jersey Boys... I think it looks fucking good, and I'm down for it.
Yeah, they had Clint Eastwood was one of the presenters.
Uh-huh.
One of the bumpers going in and out of commercials was him talking to an empty chair.
Oh, really?
So.
We know how to milk some shit.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good. So, yeah, I've seen the trailer for Jersey Boys.
I think it looks good. I think they're doing live singing with it, too.
That's good.
That is a thing that needs to happen more.
Fucking good stuff.
Well, and apparently they brought back the guy who won the Tony for playing Frankie Valli in it, so
they know
where the fucking butter is on that one, if you know what I'm saying.
Good plan.
I'm hoping they can make a Book of Mormon movie, because I have a feeling Trey would direct it, and we would get all the beauty of Cannibal the Musical yet again.
The highlight of the Tonys was the director of A Gentleman's Guide to Love and Murder... something uh-huh. and murder, whatever.
Something. Yeah.
Something, something. Something, something, Burt Ward. And he won the award, and he could not finish a sentence without this. This is great. It's great for audio.
Okay.
I'd like to thank my mother.
Oh, the head down. The
head swivel down.
The gravitas.
The
gravitas headbutt.
Shake all the way down. Your chin meets your chest.
Uh-huh.
For you people playing along at home.
Yeah.
And the excellent cast that I was given to work with. Like,
really?
Is this a work?
Are you fucking with me, boy?
Are you fucking with me?
You
fucking. Nobody's with... that gay.
Oh, man. You know what's so funny to me about any episode of this show is how the uninformed, I could understand how somebody who does not know us and doesn't know anything about this would be like, those guys are homophobic.
Not so.
Yeah, except no, no, no.
Oh, no, no.
Oh, dude, I got to tell you. So
if you
think
that.
You fans can stick it, brother.
It's not true.
I actually fired off. Speaking of this, I got a response to a Facebook message that I sent a while back to a gentleman of the last name of Massengill.
Oh, yeah.
And I said, did you know Dickie? And he replied, he's like, my brother. And I just replied, I was like, I knew him from this theater camp. He was my roommate 1 year, found out about his passing. I think the world is a less kind place without him. There are a handful of us who remember. And he just replied, he's like, thanks, man. He was one of a kind. And yeah, you're right. I think the world is a little bit less nice without him. I remember that camp. He genuinely loved it. Thank you. Like, and but just so you guys know, our friend Dickie back in the day, is there more gay than Dickie?
I haven't seen it.
Yeah, I haven't seen it. If there is, two guys who've done musical theater have not seen it.
Yeah, I haven't seen it.
And anyone said a slightly unkind word to Dickie, I'd put that motherfucker in the hospital.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, no, you did. No, 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 no. You did. You said what to him? Oh, you're going to fucking die. Yeah.
My gay friends now look at that particular kind of person with not any animus, just kind of a curious.
Like,
I think you need to turn it down, all of us. Whether it's David or Joseph, Stuart in particular. He's
right.
Like,
oh.
And Stuart's very, like, you know, went to Yale or Harvard or one of those two, something smart.
Yes.
Very put together with his bow tie. Like, no.
Oh, goodness, sir.
Why would you do that?
Is this necessary?
Why? Why? God, why would you do that? Are you gay? Or are you just really neat? And he's very gay.
He's not gay. He's just really clean.
No? Yeah.
It's like one of my favorite lines.
Every once in a while, I get the feeling. He's like, going, why did Nicole marry that mechanic? Because you can't think of anything else to say.
Oh, you're you're a plumber. What on earth is that? Yeah, that's. Oh, dude, I have no idea. I know where this came from. Eddie Izzard recently did a Nerdist that was okay.
Right.
Have you listened to the Tom Cruise Nerdist yet?
No.
They end of a thing that they did for the new Tom Cruise, whatever it is, Edge of Tomorrow thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Some panel that Chris Hardwick did at the end. He was like, look, did I have a podcast? Would you want to do it? And Tom was like, yeah. Did it. I genuinely fucking like this guy. Like, Tom Cruise seems really fucking cool. He's just joking. He's cracking wise. He's get along. And they were like, so what, how big is your theater at home? He's like, it's pretty big. And Matt Myra is like, so what I'm hearing is we're invited to come over. He's like, dude, we get back to California, come over, we'll watch movies. Like, even the holy shit. Like, he genuinely comes off cooler than you would have imagined Tom Cruise could have come off.
That's what happens.
Yeah, that's how they get you.
Everyone's like bagging on Tom during his. Admittedly, I had never had one issue with. I still don't have an issue with Tom Cruise.
I don't give a fuck.
But there was an odd point where I saw
him jumping on couches and being weird. Yeah,
that's weird.
Yeah,
I don't know anything about the history of psychiatry. Apparently, you do, and giving it to Matt Lauer.
Yeah, giving it
to him hard.
Hard.
But other than that, I don't have a problem. It's a bit off.
Right. Well, what was great was he was talking about his character in Tropic Thunder, and he's like, I want to have fat hands. I want to have fat hands. And Matt Myra's like, it's not all it's cracked up to be, Tom. And he's just playing with it. It's fantastic.
That's awesome.
It really is. And just, he was talking about the, like, one of the opening scenes of this movie where they land. He's like, I remember the first time I went to Trafalgar Square, I was like, I could land a helicopter here. I think that would be awesome. And they begin the movie with a helicopter landing at Trafalgar Square. And he's like, I was on the first one. I got out. And the director's like, cut. You're smiling. Stop it. Stop it. And to internalize that. Because he's just, and even Tom Cruise will be like, holy shit. I'm getting to fucking do this right now.
Yeah. Got to be pretty cool.
I got to love that. Anyone who just appreciates what they've got going on, I'm down with that.
Good. You know, well done.
Oh, speaking of, you want to be underwhelmed? You see the white envelope that the thing is sitting on the desk there? That contains my master's degree. Huh. It came in a paper folder. Mm. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. A paper folder.
Oh, well.
Yes.
There you have it.
Thank you, sirs. May I have another?
Yes. Sure you can. Pay us again.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll make that happen, sir. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's that. Oh, man. So I think we're at an hour. Hour and nine here. Are we good?
I think so.
Okay. This is, again, another one of our experiments to see if this distraction therapy, talk about whatever the fuck we want, works. If it works, let us know. Hashtag distraction therapy on Twitter and let us know what you think.
This is god-awful. Let us know that, too. Not going to stop us.
Sons of bitches. Email us at thefilmthugs@gmail.com or thugquestions@gmail.com to be part of one of the shows like we did last week or whenever. I don't even remember anymore. What else? Twitter, the Film Thugs, Facebook. If you want anything in the world, from t-shirts to exercise equipment to anything you can buy on Amazon, go to thefilmthugs.com and click on one of our links and they will pay us. Not you, they will. Is there anything else that needs to be said at this point? Yeah.